we do all these kind of things and we make all these kind of changes. We say things like new year, new you, and we primarily do that so that the person we present to the world is a better representation of what we think that person or who we think we need to be. KHOU did an informal poll on New Year's Eve about New Year's resolutions, and these are the results. 4% of the people that responded to the poll says they always keep their resolution. I am not in that 4%. 8% said that they start their resolution, but they fail. I would be in that percentile, except 88% said they don't make a resolution at all. That's me, right? And part of that is because as I've gotten older, I realize that I'm always a work in progress and that I have to make resolutions every single day. And I'm glad that my God's mercies are new every single day because I can do that, right? But you and I were created by God to be in a relationship with Him, with God the Father. We're told as far back as the book of Exodus that we're not to worship other gods, but we're to worship Jehovah God, whose name is jealous, and He is jealous about His relationship with you, the Bible tells us. Think about that. He's jealous of being in a relationship with you. 7 billion people on the planet, and He wants to be in a relationship with you. And sometimes you'll say, well, I can't, God's got more problems than, you know, than just me. And yeah, He does. But He's done a pretty good job of running the universe so far. And if the scripture says that He wants to be in a relationship, He's jealous to have a relationship with you, then all of the problems of everybody else in the world are also significant to God, but so are whatever problems you have. So is whatever joy you have. So whatever good you have in your life, God's interested in you. The prophet Hosea wrote these words. He's talking on behalf of God who has communicated to him, and he says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifice. I want you to know me more than I want your burnt offerings. That's what he told his people. You can go to the temple and you can do all those kind of things and perform all the rituals, but what I really want is, I want to be in a relationship with you. And so while personal self-help resolutions are good and fine and dandy, I want to challenge you this year to resolve to be friends with God. Let that be your New Year's resolution. Resolve to be friends with a God who is jealous over you. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Not only does God want to be in a relationship with you, not only does God want your resolution this year to be friends with Him, He sent His Son 2,000 years ago to die so that this would be possible. Can I just be honest with you this morning? God misses you. God misses you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. And so how does this happen? If I'm going to resolve this year to strengthen and to deepen my friendship with God, how do I start? Well, the easiest way to start is make knowing God your highest priority. Make knowing God your highest priority. I chose my words carefully here because knowing and being acquainted with are very, very different. One of the reasons we're going to start the study next week on the real God is to help you know the attributes of God. And the ones we're going to study over the next 8 weeks are His goodness, His sovereignty, His holiness, His wisdom, His justice, His faithfulness, and His love. But not only are those attributes of God that He distributes or displays to us, but they're also attributes that He distributes to us. They're things that He would like us to live out as a representation of His love inside of us. And so we have to make knowing God our highest priority. Our relationship with Him can't just be a Sunday morning thing. It can't just be a passing thing. Philippians chapter 3 says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. When was the last time you said, I'm going to set aside the things that make me happy so that I can pursue the knowledge of gaining Christ? Can I just be honest with you from a pastor's heart? Can I tell you the truth this morning? You're as close to God as you want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. But the God who loves you and who is jealous for you is there ready to receive you drawing back to Him. He's there ready to help you know Him in a deeper way. But He has to be a high priority. He has to be the highest priority. And so if you're looking at making a resolution moving forward, I think the greatest resolution you can make this year is make a resolution to strengthen your friendship with God. We're promised in Jeremiah 29 that you will find Him, you will find God, if you will choose to seek God with all of your heart, Jeremiah says. You will find Him if you will seek Him, and if you will do so with all of your heart. It's really pretty self-explanatory. You make the choice. Knowing and loving God is our greatest privilege. But being known by God and being loved by God is our greatest pleasure. Loving Him is our greatest privilege. Being known and loved by Him is our greatest pleasure. Pursue the pleasure of knowing God deeper. Resolve this year to strengthen your friendship with Him. Secondly, resolve this year to strengthen your friendship with God, not only by making knowing Him your highest priority, but learning the skill of being relationally still. I chose my words carefully here as well. Being relationally still. We talk a lot about God, particularly church folk. We talk about Him in the hallway. We talk about Him in our family. We talk about Him sometimes at work. We put memes about Him on Facebook. We do social media stuff about God. But that is very different than being still relationally in His presence. The psalmist writes in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." I will be honored in every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. How does that honor come to pass? That honor comes to pass when you get still in His presence and know Him. Because when you get still and you know Him, you become a fruit bearer. And as you produce fruit, He is known in your home and on your street and in your community and in your state and in your nation and around the world. Problem is, we're not any good at being still in His presence. If we have the discipline to turn the world off and turn the Bible on, and if we have the discipline to turn the world off and engage Him in closet prayer, few of us have the discipline to finish our reading and finish our praying and just sit in silence and let Him talk back to us. It requires discipline. It requires patience. It requires setting up parameters and boundaries in your own home where you are not allowed to be disturbed when you are in your prayer closet. And moms are right now rolling their eyes at me going, "Yeah, right. Have you been in my house?" One of the things that we had to do when our kids were little is Debbie and I just had to make an agreement that when she was going to be in the prayer closet, I was going to be the one who was going to be responsible for the children. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, but we had to set aside, we had to establish those parameters of finding out ways to make this work and make this function. Is it easy? No, I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It requires effort. Your spiritual growth, your spiritual journey requires effort. You are as close to God as you want to be. But we've lost the art of listening. We've lost the art of listening to each other, let alone listening to God. We need to carve out time. We need to make it a practice to not only talk to Him from our prayer closet and to spend time in His Word, but to sit in His presence and simply listen. You know the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? You talk to an acquaintance. You trust a friend. We need to reestablish the ability of trust that we have with our Heavenly Father. And we need to listen to Him. If we go in and just do all the talking and don't allow Him to talk back, we're only committing half a prayer, if that makes sense. Because prayer is communication. Be still and know that I am God. And when you are still and when you know that I am God, then I will be honored by every nation and I will be honored throughout the earth because you will produce fruit. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me or remain in me or stay in me, and I in them, it will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, say it together, for apart from me, you can do
nothing.
You can't fix your finances apart from God. You can't heal your marriage apart from God. You can't turn your kids over to Him apart from God. You can't handle your health issues apart from God. For apart from Him, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain or abide in me, and my words remain and abide in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. God is not your magic genie, and this verse requires a whole lot of explanation that I don't have time to go into right now, but He's not saying you can ask to win a Lamborghini and the scratch-off ticket, and that's going to come true, right? What He's saying is that your will aligns with my will, and when you're praying the things that I desire for you, those are the things that I give. Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When your life and mine produces fruit and brings great glory to the Father, then He is honored in every nation and He becomes honored throughout the world. But it starts with you and I being still and knowing that He is God. You're a branch. And if you're in Christ, you're attached to the vine, and the vine is attached to the Father. And as a branch, I think we see this analogy and we have it wrong. We assume that the branch comes down and attaches to the vine, and the branch sucks the life and the nutrients from the vine like it's some kind of straw. And nothing could be further from the truth. The branch does not suck its life from the vine, but the vine pushes its life into the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? Because you don't have the supernatural capacity to suck life from the vine. You have to let the vine push the life into you. And that comes as you learn to remain in Him. And you learn to remain in Him when you learn to be relationally silent. You talk to Him in prayer. You engage Him through His Word, but then you sit and you listen and you let Him talk to you back. Make God your highest priority. Learn the skill of being relationally still. But if you're going to resolve this year to strengthen your friendship with God, you need to do it by developing the art of constant communication. There's a terrible verse in Thessalonians that creates a great trauma for us. That verse simply reads, pray without ceasing. What? What does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to be on my knees all the time like we were here? No. What it means is always be in communication with the Father. Always have your Heavenly Father program running in the background like you would on a CPU or like you would in the back of an electronic device. It is possible to do more than one thing at one time. It is possible. God has created your mind in such a beautiful and unique way that it can do many things at one time. Even now, while I'm standing here talking to you, I'm praying that the words that I say will touch your heart. Even as I'm standing here talking to you, I'm seeing some of your individual faces and I'm thinking about needs you have in your life, and I'm asking God, touch them with this word. Minister to them through this particular passage of Scripture. It's a skill that you work on and that you can develop. Is it easy? No, it requires sometimes conscious thought. Sometimes you just have to stop yourself and go, wait a minute, I'm not multitasking at this point. I'm thinking linearly, linear, I don't know what the word is. That's it. Thank you. I'm only thinking in a straight line. I'm not thinking in multi-levels. And it's a process that can be learned and it can be developed. When you're frustrated at work and you're trying to fix the problem and you're hacking away at your computer, you can also be talking to God about finding a solution and what's going on and why does this have me so out of sorts and how can this bring glory to your name? When you're paying the bills and you're worried about your finances and you're writing the checks and you realize that there's more month than money, you can also be having a conversation. Lord, I don't know how this is going to... Lord, what do we need to change? What do we need to do? How do we need to grow? What disciplines do I need to acquire? When you're enjoying a great meal with friends, and you're laughing and carrying on and talking about the holidays and all that kind of stuff, and you take a bite of that macaroni and cheese, and your mouth goes, wow. That's a wonderful and perfect opportunity to go, God, I thank you for macaroni and cheese. When he says pray without ceasing, those are the kind of things that he's talking about. When you're checking out at the grocery store and the person behind you doesn't seem to be interested in a spiritual conversation while you're talking to them about your grocery purchase, you at the same time can be praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to tell them about you. Lord, open their heart. Put somebody in their life that will share the gospel with them once I'm gone. Paul teaches us that we can be content in any situation we're in life. And the way that's possible is by being able to pray through any situation in life while we're dealing with whatever situation that might be. Not just in our prayer closet, which is certainly a part of your spiritual journey. That's the launch pad from which every other prayer you speak is sent. You have to have that as part of your life. Paul says, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. And one God and Father who is over all. You know what the Bible means when it says he's over all? It means he's got this. Whatever it is, he's got it. You can trust him in that. You can talk to him about that. Learn the art of communicating with him and thank him that he's got this. Who is over all and who is in all. You know what it means when it says he's in all? Not only does he have the situation, but he has you. He's right in the middle of it, like you're right in the middle of it. He wants to hear your perspective on what is going on in and around you, that good or bad. He's in all, he's over all, he's got this, he's in all, he's got you, and he's living through all, which means he's actively working to bring glory to his kingdom. He wants there to be a kingdom outcome to whatever situation you're in. And so, since he's over all and in all and is living through all, you should be able to talk to him and communicate with him about whatever's going on in whatever situation you happen to be in. Colossians tells us that he is before all things and in him all things hold together. Do you want the things of you to be held together? Then learn the art of constant communication with him. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever's coming at you, whatever's good, whatever's not so good. Let there always be this rolling, constant communication where God is active and your mind is active to him in every situation. Finally, if we want to resolve for God to be our friend in the new year and to deepen this friendship, he's already our friend, but if you want to deepen this friendship, we need to be determined to trust God in the things that are painful. Everybody's life has pain. Everybody's life has pain. And if there was time, I'd put the flip side to this on there as well. We need to be determined to trust God in our joy and celebration. Because it's often in our joy and celebration where God winds up taking a back seat. We think things are going along just fine. We're happy, family's happy, finances are good, everything's going good at work, kids are doing well in school, grandkids are doing well in school, everybody's, man, things are just good right now. So you know what I do? I'm going to say to myself, self, tonight we'll celebrate. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. You know how that ends up, don't you? The scripture says when we get to that point, we're a fool. So we need to be determined to trust God in our joy or in our pain. How about that? But as a pastor, I see so many people run from God in their pain. They feel like God's abandoned them. They feel like God's taken everything away from them. They feel like God does not care. Because if he did care, he wouldn't let me hurt this way. And Jesus said, no, you're going to hurt. In this world, it's just part of it. You're going to hurt. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the hurts of this world. The psalmist writes in Psalm 55, 22, that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain. The word sustain there is the Hebrew word kool, K-O-O-L. It literally means to keep in the corral or in the pen, to provide shelter, nourishment, and comfort. He will sustain you. He will corral you. He will keep you in the pen. He will provide shelter, nourishment, and comfort. He goes on to say, he will never let the righteous fall. Cast your cares upon him. The word cast is give him the old heave-ho. Cast them on him. And he will sustain you. Cool, isn't it? Thank you, Lynette, for laughing. That was funny. I appreciate that. Lynette gets my sophisticated humor. The more honest to God you are, the deeper your friendship's going to be. The more honest to God that you are, the more honest with God that you are, the deeper your friendship is going to be. God can handle your grumbling. He can handle your frustration. He can handle your anxiety. He can handle the things that just make you crazy. I learned this lesson from my grandmother most of my life. She lived to be almost 104 years old. And she always talked to me about how she talked to God. We'd be sitting at the breakfast table this morning. Grandma, did you sleep okay? I did. But I got up in the middle of the night and I was frustrated with God. And so I just told him. And then she'd tell me whatever she told him. As she got older in life, she was at the nursing home, and she would tell me, talk to God this morning, I just told him, I don't like this place. I don't understand why you would leave me in this place. Every morning when I wake up, it seems like another one of my friends has died. I don't like it here, God. I don't want to be here. But the beautiful thing about my grandmother and the lesson she taught me is that she never stayed parked there. Because she would always then talk about the fun she had playing bingo or the fun she had knitting or crocheting or hanging out with other people or the giggles that she had when she was eating her pudding and her tooth fell out in her pudding. She was always able to kind of juxtapose those things and find joy in those things. And she would tell me. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed. And we told... And I told God later, I said, this is so funny that you would, you know, make my tooth fall out in my pudding. For her, they just giggled her, and she had to talk to Jesus about that. And so there's both and. Do you realize that in the 150 books that make up the Psalms, one-third of those are lament? One-third of those are, God, life stinks. God, where are you? God, why have you? God, why won't you? God, why didn't you? 33% of the book of Psalm is written that way. But then there's the other 66%, which is worship and praise and wisdom and thanksgiving. Maybe there's a good formula in our life for that. Be determined to trust God in your joy and in your pain. Psalm 91 says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Again, from a pastor's heart, you're as close to God as you want to be. So what are you going to do this new year? If you're making resolutions, more power to you. But I would encourage you that the greatest resolution you could make is to resolve to strengthen your friendship with God. Make Him your highest priority. Learn the skill of relationally being still. Develop that constant communication practice. And trust God in your joy and in your pain. We adopt resolutions to improve our identity. But for the Christ follower, our identity is in Christ. And so many of us think that our identity is determined by how much about God and how much about Jesus we know. And we think, if I'll just do more Bible study, or if I'll just attend a different conference, or if I'll just do this or that, or if I'll just serve Him in a better way, if I can just learn more and know more, then I'll be closer to Him. But that's only a small piece of the puzzle. Knowing Christ deeper and being friends with God deeper is not about being proficient in the things of the good book or in the things of a religious practice. There are a lot of people who do a lot of good things that are far, far away from God. There are a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible that are far, far away from God. It is not about your proficiency in Christ. It is about your proximity to Christ. Jesus says, if you will remain in me, if you will abide in me, if you will stay in me, not around me, but in me. Decide this year that proficiency in Christ will take a back seat to proximity to Christ. Make Jesus and God your highest priority this year. It's a great resolution if you're going to make one at all. And remember, if you fail in that resolution today, His mercies are new every morning, and you get to start again. Your relationship with Him is that important to Him that He gives you a do-over every single day. He's worth the investment.